It's November 16th, 2017. Okay. What is your name?
David Reger.
Where do you live?
Sitka, Kansas.
What's your occupation?
I'm a contract cowboy.
Okay, and how old are you?
61.
When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire in general?
11:25, first page out. We were paged to mutual aid, Beaver County, assist Inwood.
And where were you? And what was your immediate reaction when you heard?
The wind was blowing 25-30. I was on my way to town. Well, I was going to lunch. But when the page came off, I came to town to send my mutual aid trucks. I'm the local fire chief.
So how many trucks are for mutual aid?
On a mutual aid run, we send two attack trucks and a tanker.
And is that all you sent?
That's all we sent.
Okay.
45 minutes later, second page, we sent everybody that was available. We sent two more grass rigs and called for the second tanker.
Okay. And were you at the firehouse then?
I was at the firehouse at that point.
Okay, were you on a truck?
I took a grass rig at that point. I had no extra drivers.
And who was with you?
Tim Wilson, I think.
Okay. And where did you go?
Went to Frosty Edgar's. Went to Inglewood and 10 miles west to Meade County. We were tasked with saving a farmstead.
Okay. So what was your first reaction when they first called for mutual aid? Were you expecting to have to send everything out?
I am. My first reaction was, God, I'm glad I'm old. I don't have to go on them. And now I wasn't. I knew it was going to be a tough day, but I really wasn't worried too much about it at that point. It was in Beaver.
Right. How long did it take you to get to Frosty's from here?
Minutes probably.
And what did you see when you finally got there?
Smoke.
And had your plans changed?
Were you still? Not at that point. At that point, we got in there. It was still, it was smoky. It was a what I would call a normal grass fire smoke. Now, the radio traffic was starting to pick up that the boys that were south of us were basically saying, get the hell out of the way. At that point, it really wasn't to us yet. And we went in and phoned, put a wedding agent on all of the structures that at the homestead we were at, sprayed the evergreen trees along the inside border in the house, north of the house. Had time to, I think we had five, maybe six grass rigs there, two tankers.
Was it just Ashland?
We had a couple of Inglewood trucks there, I think. I believe they came in from the south. You know, they were in front of us and then come back to us. All of my units were there that we had took with us. And we went, foamed everything, had a chance to rewater. And at that point, the horizon, Frosty's is in a bowl. And at that point, the sky was turning black to the west.
Mm-hmm.
And it was midnight black. And it walked across this two-mile bowl at us. Probably didn't take as long as I think it did. But 5-10 minutes is it the sky turned black and come just walked across and shut off the visibility, and it was horizon to horizon. Frosty was in a tractor in front of us at that point. He was plowing out around his farmstead in front of the trucks. And somebody hollered at him, told him he needed to get behind us, or get back towards the house anyway. But the line, the black line, had not got plumb to us. And looking way up in the sky, and I realized after the fact, there was an orange line. It was about an inch thick. That was way up here. it was far enough away and slow enough that we had a chance to kid on the back, thump the hood, and said, "Look at that." And then the whole world went orange. And it blew over us the first time.
So, could you breathe?
Not really. It was due to the heat that come across us.
Were there big flames?
No, it was orange. The whole world was orange. There really wasn't.
Was there a sound?
I couldn't tell you that. I have no idea. Uh-huh. Couldn't tell you that. When it passed us, it went back to the smoky. It lightened back up, you know, and then
wasn't as dark.
It wasn't as dark. Then you could see flames. Anything that we had not phoned was burning. The tree we were sitting beside was probably 3 foot, 3.5 foot around, 40 feet tall. Was the entire tree was on fire, all the way around it, all the way to the top. When the leaf left on it, it was total fire.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't last for long, you know. But as soon as it got by, we checked our firefighters that were standing on the back of the trucks on this come across. Right. And most of them kicked it to a fog pattern. Uh-huh. You know, it had been trained well enough that nobody spooked, nobody bailed. When it blew over the top of us, we dropped them in gear, and then we had spot fires. You know, lots of little 5 gallon bucket, you know, just spot fires. Mm-hmm. Went out and knocked them down. Didn't use a whole lot of water at that point. Second wave hit us. It come across so fast that it just burnt the top
right
of everything. The second wave come through and cleaned up everything that was underneath that.
So, like, the first one kind of came through in the air? Or kind of this big wall?
It came through as a wall, basically.
And then the next one came through on the ground?
The next one took care of everything that was still like a normal fire, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we got hit 3 times because the second one came through, and we fought that one. When the second one came through, then Inglewood took off to go see if they could get in front of it to save other houses. They tasked us with saving this homestead. And I sent tankers back. I think they both made 2 round trips. We used that much water.
Where'd they go to get water?
Had to go to Inglewood.
And they were able to get it before Inglewood ran out?
They both came back with water.
Right.
They got it before Inglewood lost power, I would say.
Okay.
Because we didn't have any tankers in there till after the fact. At that point, the third go, Frosty's wife brought us sandwiches between the second
and the third.
And the third. She came out and emptied her house and took all her bread and all her meat and whatnot. And I guess they'd had a ham or something there beforehand. Anyway, they brought us out and fed everybody that was still there. The third deal came through, and it pretty much had bypassed the house we were at, but it come in both sides around us.
Mm-hmm.
We got that pretty well knocked out, and basically at that point everything was kind of black around the homestead. There were still some fires. You know, Frosty fired up his tractor and went to disking around some other things that were still fire. We pulled out of there and started to town, started to Inglewood.
Right.
And
were you behind the fire at that time?
No, we were in it. Because we drove through smoke and fire, and we'd have been maybe a mile and a half east of Frosty's. We were back up out of the bowl. I don't think we were past Barbie's, which is the pasture that borders Frosty there. And we run into about 25, 30 head of cows walking down the middle of the road. Couldn't get around them. Mm-hmm. But we didn't see them until we were in them.
Right.
So we had, I think, four trucks behind us. And we moved them cattle on down the road to the first intersection, which was probably a mile or two down the damn road. But they turned off to the south, and we went ahead, and they stayed in the road. They didn't get off in the burning ditch. They stayed in the road. We got past that, and we were driving with the door open on the left-hand side of the road, because the Clichy Road, you could see the white against the burnt black of the bar ditch. And everybody stayed behind me because nobody could see anything but my brake light or my flashy lights. And we come to town, and I have no idea how long it took us to get from that point to town. We were probably 2.5-3 miles west of Englewood, and we drove through the fire again, mm-hmm. and we got in front of it. And we're running along there, and everybody got through it, and we were...
Were you throwing water on it while you were going through it?
No.
You're just getting through it.
We were trying to get through it.
To get in front of it.
Yep. We drove through it and got to... We didn't know where the damn fire was. I mean, fire was everywhere. But we got plumb through it and seen we were through it, and I was the first truck. And we were in the tree rows there. I don't know if they're Theus's or Goodnights or whatever. They're just west of town. When we cleared the furthest west tree row, it was burning in the tree row. But we drove through, got by it, and I took the two front trucks, one-ton trucks, and they were full of water.
Right.
And I told them we can stop it. And we turned around right there and pulled into the deal. We had a wheat field on the north, and we had a wheat field to the south, and it was coming up the bar ditch and through the tree rows. And we put a truck on either side and stopped that.
Put the fire out
right
there.
We put that fire out right there. We ran out of water. Turned around and ran back to where we left our tanker, and it wasn't there.
Oh.
So, and by then the smoke was back to where there was no visibility again. We found it. We followed the road into Englewood. Had no idea where Englewood was. Followed it into town. And at the church on the west side of town, the tanker was sitting there in the big blazing thing on the back, you know.
Right.
It cleared off enough that we seen it 15, 20 feet away from it. And hollered at him and said, we need water. Pulled up there. We were full of water and pulling away. The second tonner was behind us, pulled up to get water when the north wind brought that fire into town. Because that fire come in from the north. 56, 54, I guess, was at Brenda's. Mm-hmm. And there was a one-ton, I'm not sure whose, with it on the north side of the whatever street that is that goes west out of town, or where the church is going west. They were back in there. They saved all those houses. I don't think they lost a house back there. We were sitting there when the fire came over us. Wilson never got off the back. We fired it up, pulled around there, and pulled into the backside of Kay's house.
Lori's. And Chris.
Yeah. I had a fire truck. One of my fire trucks came around the front side of the deal. I don't know where it came from, but it came around the front side of this thing. So we went around the back and phoned that. And then it was just house to house, all the way south in the first block on the west side. I don't know if we lost a house that we were. We lost a couple of sheds there that, when we came back after the fact, had burnt down.
Right.
But as it went through, I don't think we lost anything. But while we were doing that is when the phone call came, or when the radio traffic came, that Ashland was being evacuated and we needed to be home. At that point, we had to go tell Englewood that we were leaving them. And we left in strings because the guys didn't leave. If they didn't leave, they ran out of water. And then they picked up water and started back. Our tanker stayed. One tanker stayed there because by that time there was no water in
England.
They'd stopped a couple of semis out on the deal, and our boys were filling it and then going back into the fire to do fire trucks. When they finally got to the point where we had to have them, then they come out and followed us home. But we ran out of the fire at W Road, Mike McCarty's Road, going north. We drove out. That's the first time we've seen any sign of daylight.
Since
12 o'clock. You know? Yeah.
You were actually completely out of the smoke. So yeah. you went back to Ashland going on the highway?
You didn't go the dirt road? No. There was fire, as far as we knew, from Gardner's or from Englewood all the way west.
East.
Yeah. Yeah, that way. So we went to the, because they told us to get back and get back quick.
And who's telling you? Emergency dispatch?
It was coming on 800, so...
when did you realize...
It was probably dispatch.
When did you realize you didn't have radios? That they burned? Or that the repeater had burned?
Probably late Monday night.
Oh.
Early Tuesday morning.
Because you were getting most things through the 800 radios? And
no, we were talking truck to truck on talk around.
Ah.
Because the smoke was so bad that the radios weren't, well, it was probably dead was the reason they weren't working.
Right.
You know, because nobody could talk farther than truck to truck, so everybody was on talk around.
Yeah. Do you use your cell phones a lot?
We use cell phones as long as they worked.
Yeah.
Cell phones are kind of like radios. When they get a lot of smoke in air, they don't work real well.
Yeah.
So, but when I left Englewood, come back to here, we stopped in Ashland long enough to see how the trucks that were still intact. We had two trucks that, when we were headed to Frosty's, Mineola was coming down. And they were probably at the corner south of Mineola, at the curves, when they got paged to their own fire.
Right.
So they called and told us that they weren't coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't talk to them again. I guess we still did, because I was still at Frosty. We still had radio communication. I had three trucks left in town. Two of them kind of worked. They were not completely out of service, but they should have been.
Right.
Mineola called for any assistance they could get, and I sent them two trucks. I sent them one ahead.
And did they make it all the way up there?
They made it, yep. They were on the west side of the lake, I believe, when it rolled over the top of them. And they were with Mineola when that rolled over. At that point, nobody up there really had an idea how to do what they were fixing to have to do with two untons and a truck that didn't run real well.
Yeah.
So our guys come back this way, and that one truck wasn't running real well at that point. And I think they made it back to Poseidon's with those trucks. Then they come on south and worked the north edge of town and out to Buster Carter's.
They went down the dump road and put out the electrical poles.
Yeah, but they did that after the fact, after we were back over here.
Yeah. It was later in the night.
Yeah.
So when you got back to Ashland and checked on all the trucks and everything, then where did you go?
I went east.
And how far? Which way did you go east? On the highway? Or
I started out the Sitka Road, the dirt road, on U.
Yes.
Made it to Road 22, the 3 mile road after. Dropped south there, around to the Domey Road, and made it to Bonnie Swayze's old house place. That's when I found out, one of the Hazen boys was in trouble. Mm-hmm. I met a cop, one of the police officers there at the corner. He was evacuating people to the south, all the lived-in homes. He was stopping and making sure they knew there was fire coming, knew, you know, mm-hmm. there was no help they needed to get out. He was going to turn around and go back the other direction. I had a fire truck. We went to get Hazen. And we turned, went back the way, well, we went up the road there by Dograph Place, Kenneth's mm-hmm. Line, or whatever.
Wasinger's.
Yeah, Wasinger's Pollard's. In that direction. Made it to the Sitka Road, the U Road. At that point, the fire caught us. But at that point, I also knew that Steve had come in from the other direction and got out.
Yeah.
So we went back from that point.
Who's with you?
Wilson.
Tim. Still?
Wilson. Yeah. Tim, when we come out of the smoke, headed north out of Englewood, he looked at me and said, "I'm burnt out." Said, "There ain't nothing left over there." Like, "Do you want to go look?" He says, "No, we ain't got time." Said, "It's done. Let's just keep, you know." So anyway, we come back, went around through there. I went past my house, across Sugarloaf, over to Boss Arch.
Right.
Was supposed to go tell them because there hadn't been anybody over there. I guess Comanche County might have been there telling those people about it. But when I pulled in over there, Sam's wife told me that Sam's pickup had quit and he was walking across the pasture.
Oh.
So we turned and went to the Tank Road, Jayhawk Road, Z Road, X Road, whatever that road is, and headed west. And a neighbor had stopped and was picking Sam up as we got there. And they looked at us and said, "Just jump right in here and put this out. It's going to burn us out." We opened the gate, looked at it, looked this way, knew we had 300 gallons of water, and we weren't going to do a damn thing.
Yeah.
So we started on west to try to get across that. At that point, that fire was burning for the Jayhawk tanks probably all the way to 180, Highway 34, 183. Burning all the way across there.
So which way is it coming from?
It's coming from the northwest at that point.
And it came down from Lexington?
Yeah.
Came down across like Wilson's and Cohen's and is now going south?
Yeah.
And just heading...
That line was probably that first fire, or the north fire coming across, because we couldn't get through there. We turned around, went back to Moss Arch Road, went north, crossed the highway 2 miles to our road.
And that was already burnt?
Well, it wasn't all the way burnt. There was a crew there, bleepers. Is that who bought the Randall Ranch?
No.
Anyway, the people that bought the Randall Ranch over there were there with a dozer, a blade, and a couple of spray rigs. And they were fighting a fire line all the way back to Hardin's.
North.
North, across there. And that line was coming across. I jumped that fire line over to our place. It was just burning across our place.
Is it dark?
It was dark all day. I couldn't tell you that. I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was, but you know.
But you're seeing flames.
But I'm seeing flames, and it's, you know.
And are they large flames, or are they?
Well, of course they're large flames. Now, but by that time, most of these were what I would call the back.
Back burn?
The back side of the fire that's burning. You know, they were something that are large flame, but they would be controllable if we'd have had something to control it with.
Right. Has the wind died down?
No.
It's still blowing 60 mile an hour?
It's still blowing.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you.
Are you having fireballs in the air and...
In places. We drove onto the highway and went down to the wreck, to the semi.
That was south of where you were,
yeah.
Our road?
Uh-huh. I went by that wreck 3 times.
Were you there when the ambulance was there?
No.
That had already been there?
The first time, second time, and... Wasn't there for the third one either.
So,
no, the truck had wrecked and the two vehicles had hit it. The first one didn't have anybody really per se hurt. And they walked around the back side of the truck. And the second one hit the first car, didn't hit the truck, hit the first car, flipped.
And those people had major injuries.
Well, not major injuries, but they had
minor injuries.
They had injuries that needed to be taken to a hospital for.
Right.
But I think the ambulance picked up, took all of them people. I have no idea where they went with them.
Mineola.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Through Ashland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it already burned.
Yeah. I was talking to the fishing game, I suppose, is who was out there, because I don't think it was police officers. You know, when the truck was sitting there idling, wasn't a thing wrong with the truck. The first time we went by there, there wasn't a thing wrong with the trailer. They called us back within, I don't think we were 10, 15 miles away. They called us back, the trailer was on fire.
Oh.
So we went back and put the trailer out. We went back and put the trailer out.
So was the trailer still in the road?
Yeah, it was crossways in the road.
How did they get that off the road? Was it there for a while? Before
yeah.
They dumped it in the ditch?
Yeah. Yeah. 2 days.
So that road was closed. Nobody could go up that road? Or?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I think it's probably Wednesday morning for me.
Actually moved the trailer off the road?
Yeah. Before they got a wrecker down here to move that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you stay on the east side of town then? Around Sitka, and did you go to Lexington?
I did not go all the way to Lexington. We went up past Bernie House and across there. I was started north and got called back to the wreck.
Could you tell what stuff was already gone? Or?
Yeah, as in?
Like Vernon's house
was
gone?
It was burning when I went by.
When you went
twice.
By?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then did you go down south?
I did. Once I got past because we drove through the bar ditch and got around that truck
mm-hmm.
to put it out.
Right.
And then we went south all the way to state line.
And you're a truck by yourself, or is there another truck with you?
Just me.
And Tim.
Yeah.
And nobody else is on your truck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tim's doing all the fighting on the back, and
yeah.
You're doing the
right.
Water, or you're driving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and you went clear down the state line. You see anything down there?
More fire.
Was it starting to come that way?
It was coming across pretty hard.
Uh-huh.
At that point, it was all still east.
The fire that came down from the north is all still east of Highway 34, and it's going clear south. Did it get down to, like, your place? To Barbie's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it burned. It plumbed out.
But
it was a second. Well, It was Tuesday before it burnt.
Actually, that did plant. That. Uh-huh. So then, like Monday, where that Jayhawk service road is, that's how many miles north of there? Like 5, 10?
Yeah, no, about 3 or 4, maybe.
And that had all burnt Monday.
That was burning, yes.
Okay, and then there's this little piece around Sitka that didn't burn, right? Like your house and
yeah.
Randall's.
Yeah.
And so did you talk to Jewel?
Yeah. I did.
Was he keeping a watch on all that there?
He was, the Tuesday. I believe it was Tuesday. It was after the sun came up. I went by Sitka again, and Jill's out there. Well, no, Jill wasn't out there at that point, but the post pile was afire. Actually,
still?
It was almost burnt down.
I think it was on fire when we left Monday night.
Well, I'm sure it was. But I called Jill and asked him if he lit it, because he wasn't burning the first day.
Something was on fire Monday night.
The train house burnt, and all of the stuff around that way burned.
The flames were halfway up the side of the elevator on the south side when we left Sitka at 5:30, quarter till 6 Monday night.
On the south side.
On the south side.
You were looking at it through smoke. There is nothing
smoke.
On the south side that burnt.
On the south side of the elevator.
On the south side of the elevator.
They were halfway up.
No.
Seriously.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then...
And you were watching smoke burn.
I don't remember seeing the smoke there. I remember seeing flames. And then as we went down and went like where Eldora lives, mm-hmm. and going around that corner, mm-hmm. there was smoke coming in. It was rolling across,
yeah.
like looked like dirt
yeah.
coming in. And there were cattle standing down there in the corner,
mm-hmm. yeah.
just munching away,
yeah.
thinking it was fine.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not bothered a bit, weren't spooked.
They've never lived through something like that.
Yeah.
They'll be kind of tough to be around another one, but they'll know better the next time.
So were you out running around all night long, different parts of the county, or mostly on the east side of the county after dark?
No. I was pretty much all over, but I ended up... I sent trucks back out to, or sent trucks out to give cars. And that line that was up there from north of, well, it came out of Denton's.
Mm-hmm.
It cut across all the way to Weiss's, probably.
And that's into Bozidens and
yeah,
Spares?
Well, no. It ain't, because that one, well, it was, but the top side of that fire come across, and it would have been the...
Like what was up at the lake?
Yeah.
Coming down?
Well, see, the one fire went across the north side of the county,
mm-hmm.
and ran hard across, and then the other one kind of dropped south. It was more into the draws there that the northwest wind brought it south.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 5:30, the wind switched straight out of the north, and at that point, it turned a fire that was probably 2-3 mile wide into a 29-mile head fire.
Yeah,
headed south at 70 mile an hour. They said it was burning a mile every 3.5 minutes. 29 mile wide.
And that's what came in toward the north side of Ashland?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the one coming from Englewood came in to the west side and to kind of southwest?
The one coming from Englewood came across, you know,
or
you
did
can
it
go
drop
out in
lower?
The parties and look out across there, and it dropped south and picked up... You know, that northwest wind turned it enough that
it dropped past Criers.
It dropped past Criers, south of Criers.
Pat Criers.
Yeah.
Pat and Jerry.
Yeah, and just caught the southern edge of garden wars. But it didn't burn out the gabbert, did it?
Nope. See, it got, didn't get Shaw's. Then it came back Tuesday and picked up where Cunningham's live. Is that the Rhodes place?
Yeah.
And that was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So then was that a backfire or embers?
No, it was still the thing coming down from the north that we were fighting over there on Cryer.
On Gilbert?
Yeah.
Gilbert?
Yeah, I caught a little flack from being up in that area a little more than we probably should have. But we stopped that fire there, which saved everything from the old Holstein place across this way. There ain't no fire through there.
Right.
There would have been. Yeah.
Plus, then on Tuesday, you did a lot.
Tuesday, we got help.
Yeah. When did the first help actually show up, besides Comanche County?
Well,
and
Greeley County sent four guys in a vehicle. And no truck, just four guys in a vehicle. And they got here, oh, 7:30 to 10 sometime.
Monday night.
Monday afternoon, whatever. Sometime Monday evening. And when we finally got them to town and checked in and back to us, because I didn't know what I was going to do with four guys just in no truck or nothing. We loaded them up and hauled them back to Gibbs and peeled four guys off the back of trucks and put fresh meat on the back.
Right.
Put one in with George in the tanker and then the other three on back of trucks. And we broke down, had one truck break down, we brought it to town, got it fixed. Which took most of the night. But it also took two guys that had been out the rest of the time. The Greeley County boys stayed a long time. I think they were still here when the burritos came down. Whatever time frame that was, 4:35 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that was our second meal. The ham sandwiches we got at
Frosty's
was the first one.
And then the McDonald's burrito breakfast?
Yeah,
breakfast burritos.
Or whatever they were. Yeah. You know, whatever
they were. Hash browns.
Yeah.
Did you get the hamburgers?
Uh-uh.
Tuesday at the firehouse from United? United brought the cookers down and did hamburgers and hot dogs.
Huh.
A lot of people went and came home after they were evacuated and made sandwiches.
Yeah. I knew that because we had lots of sandwiches hauled out to us.
Different places. When did you find out that the strike teams were coming?
I suppose when they came over the hill. I knew they were coming. I didn't know they were here. I didn't know, you know, we were down to one ton and a tanker.
Did anybody get to go home, go to bed?
Yeah.
Did you send people home?
There was probably four or five of the younger ones that went home Monday night. So, I mean, sometime before Tuesday morning. Went home and got 2 or 3 hours. They got a shower, 2 or 3 hours sleep. They were back shortly after daylight and kind of relieved some other people, and it really helped to have them get a little sleep.
Yep.
And then Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday, that they allowed us to pull the plug and work on trucks.
Wednesday? Yeah. Tuesday is when the first strike teams came in and you went back.
Well, we went out and did all that neat stuff down
in. Yeah. Did the back burn at Snake Creek and that type of stuff.
Yeah. They told us we could go home and take a nap that night. And we did after midnight.
Yeah.
Got back to the barns probably 10:30 Tuesday evening. And then the last of the bunch come in. I think Jesse and the Green and the Cali County boys, it was like 2 o'clock. But Jesse got to miss the first part because he was out of country.
He's being a dad. Then Tuesday night you went, got to go home and sleep a little bit. No, Thursday night you did. Tuesday night you went home because you had to be back in town by 6 to go to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to those emergency management meetings.
IMT meetings. Yes.
And what did you...
Incident management team.
What did they do there?
They told us everything that was going to happen during the day, everything that happened the night, the shift before, what we were going to try to do in the next shift, and how to they gave us a map of what was taken care of, what we were going to work on today, in the next 12-hour shift, and then they told us the units that we would have, the teams that we would have, I guess. A strike team is 5 breast trucks and a tanker and a command vehicle. They told me that a task force is 5 strike teams.
Oh.
And they told me that Ben's action was the biggest district. I would have 2 task forces. Englewood would have 1 and Mineola would have 1. Mineola told them that they didn't need 1. They were pretty much out at that point.
Right.
They had planes up there. They brought the planes in Wednesday or Thursday. They got to fly a little in Mineola on Wednesday. They didn't do anything here till Thursday or Friday.
So what did the planes mainly do? Were they putting out places you couldn't get to, or?
We'll bring that up later. They come in, they work with a ground team, and they come in and lay wet lines or hot spots that you can't, you know. We used them on the river because... We can't drive down there once it's black. You can't, you know, it's the sand and whatnot. You just can't get through it.
Right.
They didn't like our suggestion, so.
Yeah.
My suggestion was use napalm.
Yeah. Well.
be done with it. It's black all the way around. But no, they work well. Just at the state of Kansas, when we went into this one, had nothing in place to pay for this stuff. So they had to wait basically 48 hours on government to get their things working, to figure out who was going to pay for it, where it was coming from, and then they okayed them to send them.
So the state of Kansas is paying?
Yeah.
Or Forest Service?
Forest Service actually is what...
It actually picks up the tab, everybody. So then, like Wednesday, you got some time to work on trucks. Like there was a engine down or a motor.
We had a pump to redo. We had a transmission that wasn't right. We had a truck that lost a rear end, the torsion bar. That we had a mechanic come in from the wind farms that brought a crane down and picked it up and put that back together for us.
So did you go through a lot of foam?
Yeah.
So what kind of things did you foam?
We foamed everything. And we foamed even on grass. We foamed. We put foam in everything.
How does that help?
It holds the moisture to keep the... You only have to go over it once. It holds the moisture to the plant. It knocks the fire out, but then it holds the moisture there to make it where it won't rekindle quite as fast.
So did you have a lot of trouble with cow patties rekindling?
No.
Or they just pretty much
There was nothing left.
So when the fire came through, it just went, and that was it. I mean,
no. I would say that every fire that came through burnt twice. The wind took the dry off the top, but the top come across so fast that it was drying out everything that was green or whatever underneath it. And the second fire, it's all one fire. You know, the first part of it blew across the top, and then the second was a slower
burn
coming across, and there may not have been 3 mile an hour difference between the two, you know.
Yep.
You just met, you can't drive through it in a hurry.
Yeah. So did you lose anything in the fire?
Not particularly, all another than fence.
And pasture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost all every pasture that I take care of burnt.
Did you lose
fences
any?
Off of it, all of them. No, we didn't lose any mother cows on any place.
Did you lose any calves?
The jury's still out on that.
So what about your horses?
My horses weren't a problem because my place didn't burn.
So were they in a pasture or were they in a corral?
No, they were in their paddock or their trap.
So, and it didn't get close to where they were at?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, across the road either direction.
Yeah.
You know, there was a wheat field north of my house that was a clean, it wasn't no-till, it was a clean field. It did not burn more than about 30 feet into that wheat field.
Mm-hmm.
And that wheat field split the fire. And I believe Hardin's had a wheat field up on the Sitka Hill there too.
Mm-hmm.
And that one split it, pushed it on to the west, and the one north of us pushed it east. And there was a full mile there that
there's nothing.
Nothing burnt out of it.
Until it went down there, like across from Wilson's. Because that part that's Randall's on one side of the road that goes up north, to our north mm-hmm. place, said that burnt, and they had a heck of a time keeping it from blowing all summer because it burned everything up.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, anything that burnt had trouble, and will probably have a bigger problem this winter. Because there was a lot of cover crop that came back was nothing but weeds.
Yeah.
And when the frost hit here a week or two ago.
Killed the weeds.
Yeah, the weeds are dead. Now you can start seeing bare ground underneath and the wind will make it move.
Yeah. So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
That probably just the wall-to-wall flame. There, no way to get out of it. It's just, you know, been in the fire service 30 years, and we've been on some what I thought was large fires. But there was always a flank. There was always something you could get out of the smoke.
So, like you say, you've been around, and you've seen different wildfires. I mean, we've had several through here in the last couple of years, and maybe 10 that have consumed thousands of acres and stuff. So can you compare those, how you fought those, to how this one was?
Sure.
Like what?
Those, the wind never switched. You know, we fought fires in 60-mile-an-hour wind before, but it was a straightaway. You know, it might be 3 or 4 or 5 mile wide. But you never, I mean, you put flanks out and run up and, you know, and caught it when it slowed down.
And you've had help.
Yeah. There was
when you needed.
22 counties on fire on March 6th. There was no help in the state of Kansas. Everybody that we would normally have called in was already on fire in their own county.
Yeah. So when the strike teams came, mm-hmm. how long did that stay? How many people do you think were here?
Oh, God. I'd bet 160 trucks and put 2 men to a truck. Some of them had 3 or 4. Lots. You know, I really couldn't give. I could put it, you know. I think they had 160, 170 staying at the
schoolhouse. Yeah.
But I know that ain't all of them.
So, like, okay, so you had people bring in stuff, and you got water and that type of stuff. Do you know who all brought stuff in, or do you...
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I had oil companies bring pallets in. I had
pizza.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, we had church groups. We had... So blow off the street, just show up with a pallet of water. You know?
Yeah.
There was trucks coming from everywhere. And
did you have enough food or know that there was enough food to take care of everybody? And did you have enough supplies here at the firehouse for people?
I think so.
What were some of the things that kind of... There weren't any major injuries, right, of any of the firefighters?
Not major injuries. We had a guy step out of a truck, fall on his face. But
and then what about eyes?
Not that I, you know, not more than normal. We had, we still have gallons of eye wash and wet wipes. I've never had those before.
Come in handy?
Yeah, we've got them. We actually carry them in the trucks now. We carry the eye wash. We carry some other drop. Oh, I don't know what that other drop is. You know, but we carry the wash baby wipes.
Mm-hmm. Carry chapstick.
Yeah, that chapstick.
Lotion.
Some. The lotion in our fire trucks gets thrown on the dash, and then it gets real hot, and it's just gummy all over the thing. Most of our fires are not big enough, long enough to worry a whole lot about. We supply goggles and masks to all our guys. I know a lot of these boys that came in didn't have that. A lot of the strike teams that come from Colorado and whatnot really liked our foam because our foam was different than theirs. It actually put foam, you know.
Yeah. So did you get to talk to the strike team people a bit, or?
Oh yeah, they were here for 3 days, 3 or 4 days.
So what kind of things did y'all talk about? Did you share ways of how you fight fire?
Oh yeah, they think we're crazy. We think they are. You know, there ain't a prayer that would go up and fight forest fires. Well, after coming down and looking at this, they're not real sure they want to come back to this country.
Different ways of fighting?
Different tactics. Yeah. The fine fuel and the whatnot that's out here, you can't walk along with a rake and a flash water and put it out. We up there, you couldn't drive where they have to go. Mm-hmm. They really impressed us when they finally got into the tree rows and the whatnots, stuff that would have taken us days to do, they did in 30 minutes. You know, we had some 3 and 4 foot trees that were burning inside and burning down, and they had chainsaws on their trucks with 36 inch blades, and they took their rakes and their little pressure pumps, and they walked through there and moved all them leaves and weeds and whatnot underneath, and they wet it and turned it over and put out a tree row that would have took us a week or better, and they did it.
So how'd they navigate the county? Not knowing where anything was, how did they get around here?
We put a tour guide with them. Easiest way to do that. We put one of our guys with basically every one of their command vehicles.
Take them where they needed to go and make sure they didn't fall in the canyon?
Took them where they needed to go. used most of what they got sent to, they could fight.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that every group that came in to assist us got to fight fire, got to fight probably larger fire than, you know, they got to fight fire that they go home and talk about. But by the time most of them got here, it was basically backburners.
So, what were some of the people or agencies that were most helpful?
The IMTs.
Because?
The incident management team.
Yeah.
Because they came in here and did all the paperwork for us, or 99% of it. They told us what needed done. They didn't take control. They didn't take ownership of this. But they assisted and kept us out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know.
So, how would you describe your emotional response to the fire? And what have you done to help yourself cope with it?
This was the first, well, this isn't the first one, but this one we brought in after action, after incident teams. We brought in the shrinks a time or two. And
a lot of overwhelming things for everybody that they saw and had to deal with?
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't so much this fire. You know, and most of my younger guys didn't have a big problem with it. But the older boys that have been here and been through and been through and been through, this brought out a lot of stuff that they needed somebody to talk to. And being as we took our beer away from everybody, we don't do that here anymore.
So you need to talk about it.
You need to talk about it.
So did you bring somebody to the firehouse then? And
we brought the Southwest Region, what's he called? The we brought three doctor people from St. Catharines, but they are the regional fire, whatever
advisory or counselors.
Yeah, they're counselors. I mean, they've got a name, and I can't pull it.
Yeah. Did the firefighters find that very helpful?
Yes. Yeah, every one of them.
Do you feel that you might need to do that again?
I have their numbers.
Do you think it's...
I probably not for that fire. Probably not for that fire. Because most of that fire, everybody's talked out of. And,
maybe another fire?
Yeah, if something was to happen along that line. You know, this was the first grass fire that we lost structures in.
Right.
And caught a lot of hell from the boys because, you know, well, we weren't even there. There was no way to be there. You know, I caught a lot of this. Well, if we'd had more trucks. No, if we'd had more trucks, we'd have got somebody killed because we'd had somebody in front of this that couldn't have got out.
Did a lot of the firefighters in the trucks get personal calls from friends asking them to come help?
More than you realize. Most of them.
Was that hard to deal with?
Oh, yeah, because there's nothing you can do. You know, I mean, there's...
And these people don't understand that, or...?
No, they... Not at all. You know, that you're my friend, you need to come save me. And look that way. And a lot of parents, you know...
Oh, the firefighters?
Yeah.
Wondering where they're at?
You need to be here helping me instead of...
Fighting
yeah,
fire.
Yeah. Well, I got fire here, you need to be here.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that that should have, you just reach up, shut your phone off. You know, my deal, wife and kids left sometime. You know, they called
us. Did you know where your family was?
I knew they were headed south
Because Linda called you.
Linda called me.
When we left.
Yeah.
And then I called you. 10:30.
Did I answer it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I told you we were spending the night.
Yeah, okay. At that point, I think I was at Cryer's.
Probably.
I think.
Yeah. Did you talk to any of the rest of your family? I mean, besides your wife, did you talk to your brother? Did you talk to your sisters?
No.
Did they call you that day?
I have no idea. If they did, I ignored it because if it wasn't a fire service person calling me, I didn't answer the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was plugged in to my charger. When I come back from the east side and come back into here, I switched vehicles. I got out of a fire truck and got into
a command.
55 or 57, maybe.
Were you ever with JD?
I took his truck away.
Because he had 57.
Yeah, he had it until whatever time I come through town. The first time I thought we had a chance of surviving this or getting through it, it really never bothered me. You know, I just didn't figure we was ever going to get through this mess. It was daylight Tuesday morning when the sun come up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I figured, you know what, we're going to whip this one.
Were you part of them talking about moving the command center?
Mm-mm.
Did you hear any of that?
Uh-uh. That didn't bother me. And like I said, when they finally got the IMTs in here, and the guy that was the...
Did they come Monday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometime Monday.
Yeah.
Because they were here in time for Tuesday morning anyway. But anyway...
The guy that was in charge?
Yeah. I don't remember what his name is. I can picture him. I can't give his name. Anyway, he called me when he took over the command center, or got to the command center, and somebody was talking to him in the background, and he turned around and told him to shut up. He was talking to the commander.
Yeah.
That we are here to assist this man. And
other person shut up?
Yeah. I have no idea who it was or anything going on in there.
Yep.
He told him this man's in charge.
So what kind of things did he ask you or tell you?
What do you need?
At that point, did you know?
I needed foam. I was out of foam. I needed uh-huh. foam. I'd already ordered... I'd called and ordered 25 5-gallon cans from Emergency. He didn't have that many.
And where's Emergency fire?
Mayfield.
Okay. So he's close, but he's not close.
And he wasn't even sure he could get to me. You know?
Yeah.
But he said, I will... I've got... I think he said 17. 13, 17, whatever. I'll throw them in the truck and I will be headed that way. I will get there.
Uh-huh.
And he got there 8:30, 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. Got unloaded and said, bye. You know, I'm out of here. And about, hour later, I get a call that the wife's fire is down here with 25. 5-gallon cans, and where did I want them?
Ooh.
I said, stack them in the yard right there. I had, when the fire started, I had 8 5-gallon cans sitting on the floor, and 8 strung through the trucks. It's still, and plus the tanks that are, the foam tanks are still full.
Yeah.
By the time we got back here, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, we had one tank, one bucket left. And I come to town and took it off 53.
Did you have somebody here in the barn
uh-huh.
in charge? that if you needed to call in and say, do this, do that, or that could tell you what was going on here? Did you have somebody like that in charge? Or did you need somebody like that in charge?
I don't know if I needed it or not, but I had an old fireman here. And I'm not sure I can tell you who it was.
Jerome Berryman was here Monday doing stuff like that.
Yeah. But I would say somebody like our age. You know, I don't know if it was, well, it might have been Don White to start with. But he ended up on
truck.
On truck. Yeah. Well, him and Dan ended up on a trip. I don't know. Alan was here. Alan LeClaire was here.
Yeah. So you had lots of people hanging around here Monday. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of that?
Yeah.
And Tuesday?
Yeah.
Were they a problem or?
Well, they weren't to me because I wasn't here.
Right.
But Tuesday. Tuesday was a problem. Well, it wasn't a big problem. We had a whole bunch of kids, and they were running out, giving water and sandwiches to every truck that came in.
Right.
But they weren't letting them stop. Yeah. They were running out to them. Mm-hmm. So we finally, I don't know, it was probably 10, 11 o'clock, we got that taken care of. When was that house fire? The first one.
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Wednesday by the time I got back here to talk about that.
No, Bill said they got that taken care of.
Yeah.
Because he told him, and yeah.
That was Tuesday.
And it might even been some Monday night when there were kids here. But Tuesday, yeah. Yes, for sure.
I'm sure I was through here a time or two Monday night. I just don't remember being anything that brought up, you know, major attention that I needed to deal with.
Because somebody else was taking care of it, or there just wasn't?
I just don't know if there's anything.
Yep.
I mean, everything that there was somebody here on a radio.
I think that was Jerome.
Okay. But like I said, every time I call in and need something, he'd be sitting at the door time we got here, so.
Yeah. So, can you perceive of anything positive that resulted from the fire?
We didn't kill anybody. Had good enough training that everybody that was on the department at the start of it is still on it today. So we didn't lose anybody. You know, as far as can't take it anymore.
Has it increased the camaraderie or the family part of your firefighters together? Do they trust each other more? Or
we never had a problem before.
Yeah. Did it make it closer, though?
I don't know. You really can't tell because most of these guys have been a family for a while. Mm-hmm. We've been through more than one incident. This fire, it encompassed the entire county. But I'd almost tell you I've been on worse fires.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that this one was any worse than any other than it. You know, the wind switched three times.
Yeah. Took homes and destroyed lots of property.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what effect physical and financial or emotional do you think the fire has had?
The emotional part is quite a bit. We still got guys that will tear up just talking about it. Or listening to stories from the time, you know, from going back and looking at the videos and whatnot. They may not be able to talk to you, and I'm one of them. But the physical part, I don't think, has really changed a whole lot. Got another 6 or 8 gallon of smoke and dirt in the lungs, you know, that we have to work out.
What about financial?
We got a lot of donations through general public that has helped considerably. They've let us put our stuff back together without, you know, we don't have much budget to start with. And that fire blew our budget in 2 days. We didn't have anything left to fight with the rest of the year, let alone put our trucks back together. And we've got enough through budget, or through donations given by people from all over, that we are back up. We'll make the year fairly decent.
So do you have any volunteer help putting trucks back together, or was it mostly what you did here in-house?
Yeah. No, mostly our people.
So what about financially for the county? How do you think it stacks up?
If it's going to take a lot of home time to get over this wreck. There's a lot of government talk of funding 70%. And, you know, if a mile of fence costs you $10,000 and they cover 70% of it, there's still a hell of a lot of dollars there that has got to come out of somebody's pocket that wasn't making it before, let alone now.
Yep. So what about grass? Does it come back?
You know, I really thought the grass come real good with the rains and whatnot. But after the killing freeze here in October, no. We had a ground cover, but the grass is not back, and it's going to take a long time for that to get where it needs to be.
Maybe so. So what can you do or have you done to prepare for a future fire?
I put my trucks back together. we've had wildfire classes put in here, working on a strike team for the area. But if it comes up like this fire, everybody that's in our strike team won't be here anyway. I mean, they'll either be on it or be home fighting their own.
Yep. So, you were lucky that your house didn't burn and that type of stuff. Did you and your wife talk about what you would take if you were in danger of your house burning?
Yeah. The dogs. They left the cats in the house.
In the basement.
And my horses. You know, there's a lot out there, but it's all stuff. I'm sure we don't have the insurance to cover a third of it. No. I mean, if it happened again, it would just be without.
And your daughter was worried about the horses.
Mm-hmm. I know. And so were my neighbors. But, you know, at the time, there wasn't a thing I could do.
Yeah.
I mean, I had three people tell me my house burned. Mm-hmm. You know.
That was common. They thought a lot of houses burned on Facebook.
Yeah. So. You know, that's, when the picture came up from the elevator with the flames up on the elevator, those the two, the old social club and the
Sunrise
building, they thought was my house.
Yeah. So what about the community? How can they prepare for a future fire or incident?
I would tell everybody to go look at the wildland interface deal on the forestry website.
Mm-hmm.
And mow your yard. Keep it watered. Get the evergreen trees away from the house. Move everything out to where it will not fall and touch the house. If you got shake shingles, get you a sprinkler.
So, did you take advantage of any of the, like the hay that came in? Did you need that? Did you get any of the fencing stuff?
I didn't personally get the hay, but the hay that came in saved my job. We got 11 loads in a day.
What's a load?
A load is about 42 round bales. Maybe. Something like that. 40-something. But I was feeding a load a day.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they didn't have to sell any cattle, or did they keep them in there in the black, or did they take them somewhere?
We had nowhere to go. Oh. Literally, had no place to go.
Did you have fence, or did they have to put fence up quickly?
They put fence up very quickly. Yeah. All of the ranches that were in the area got as many crews together as they could get and started stringing wire. Yeah. After we got fence up, then we sorted.
Got everybody back where they belong?
Where they belong.
So are they having some illness now or death that might pertain to the fire?
We weaned in October, and I believe we killed a 10%. Mm-hmm. That were probably fire related, lung problems, problems of fire related problems.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have to kill any?
No.
Didn't have to help bury any, or.
Not on our place.
Yeah. So, did you go down to the camp and meet with the volunteers, or get to interact with anybody that had come?
I did very little, actually. Being a contract cowboy, I had 3 different ranches that I was looking at. I really didn't have time to be in town.
Go down and do that? But you did get to meet with some of the volunteers that came because of being fire chief.
Yes, I got to meet quite a few people that came to town, and talked to them. Most of them were, most of it was 15, 20 minutes or an hour or something, I just didn't spend a lot of time after hours down at the, the deal. We did take advantage of the post and wire that were brought in. Mm-hmm.
And there was a meal, wasn't there, for appreciation meal for firefighters down at the...
I believe so.
Steak dinner or something. Melanie did it on a Saturday or something. Invited y'all down to eat supper with the volunteers.
Uh-huh. Did I make that? I don't think I did. I think the one I made had sandwiches.
question. Oh, so you did some counseling with the firefighters. Were there any meetings afterwards with all of the emergency people to kind of...
After action reports?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was probably 4 or 5 of those.
And who all participated?
All of the fire service personnel from the county, EMS, we had Road and Bridge, I believe. Anybody that carried radio. The sheriff's offices was there, dispatchers were there.
Did you come up with some pretty good summary? What was right, what was wrong? Did you get some ideas of what could be done for next time, or are we still meeting on that?
Yeah.
Is it such a wild thing that, it's hard to plan?
It's one of those deals that... We didn't do a whole lot wrong. Most of what happened uh, there wasn't anything screwed up real bad. That you know, there's like the evacuation that has some things that needed to change. The plan that we had at the, to start with was wrote a while ago.
Needed some updating.
And we're in a process of that. The LEPC is going through now and going through the standards and going through the whatnot, bringing that up to where it will be different when we something happens again.
Yeah. So any other thoughts about this experience?
Yeah. I think February 15th, I'm going on a cruise and not coming back till the 1st of May.
Oh. How many people are going with you?
I'm not sure. It's still open.
Are you anticipating something like this might happen again?
Of course. We had Anderson Creek last year. We had what they call a Starbuck fire this year. What has changed?
New fence.
Nothing. We are still on the Oklahoma line. All of our major fires come out of Oklahoma because we live on Oklahoma's border. But they have come out of there. We've chased them all the way to Pratt. We've done that since '96. It is basically an annual or an every other year event. We have a big fire somewhere. It's going to happen again.
Do you feel like you're more prepared? Or can you ever be well prepared? I mean,
I have two tankers and 5 grass rigs. We're buying a new grass rig. I have enough people to run all of them, and they are trained in the process. We are as prepared as we'll ever be.
Do you think the going through the Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2 continuously, like you've been doing, to get everybody up to speed has helped?
Oh, yes. I do. I think it...
Even the older guys?
I'm sure it's helped them as much as anybody, because it's ingrained in them.
What needs to be done?
What needs to be done and how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily the fire 1 and 2, because that's mostly structure stuff. But it gives them the incident command systems. It gives them the thought pattern to stay alive.
So in this wildfire school you just had, mm-hmm. what kind of things did they pick up from that?
The wildfire classes teach you to how to fight wildfire. Basically, that does the same thing as the rest of it. It refines your thought pattern on don't go to the head and jump in the middle of it and split it and make 2 fires instead of, you know, find you an anchor point at the back of it and work the flanks. Put the flanks out, work yourself around, and bench your head off. It may take a while, but you don't have anything come up your backside. This fire, we didn't have that option because it outran us to start with, and then the wind switched and brought it back on us.
Yeah. And they didn't really have any way to stop it when it started in Oklahoma, right? They didn't have the crew there either, right?
No. Yeah. We have National Weather on board now, and they have a couple of new satellites that last year 68% of all wildfires were reported by satellite before it made 911.
Yeah.
So we have a new satellite going up this year that will take the northern part of the country, and
help a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, forestry is in the process of looking at ways to assist. State of Kansas seems to think maybe they could tell forestry how to help out in the in the situations. They want to know why they don't help more. And our legislators found out that they don't pay forestry anything.
Yeah.
So.
Think that'll change?
I think so. I think there'll be some. I don't know if it'll be in time for fire season next year, because fire season actually starts, oh, 1st February.
Yeah.
Our season will go from now till the 1st of April. And then the western wildfires will start in April. The forest fires, and that's it.
Yeah.
Nobody expects it out here.
Right.
Because for years, nobody reported to forestry that we were having grass fires.
But we are now, right?
Yes. Yeah. They actually realized that Kansas has more fires than almost any other state in the country.
Pasture fires?
Fires.
Just fires?
Fires.
Okay. So anything else?
What do you want? Yeah, you know. What do you want?
Thank you for your time.